Got your Bible? Hold it up. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your Sunday morning shout. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is going to be an amazing summer for you. Are you ready for an amazing summer? I mean, you know, here we are on the threshold of Memorial Weekend coming up in a couple of weeks, and summer here's already. And today it's getting in the 90s in St. Louis. We're used to that, though, right? We go from 60 to 90. Amen. We love it. Hallelujah. But get ready, because, you know, we have a lot of special things planned for you this summer. On Wednesday nights, we're doing one Wednesday night a month where we're having blow-ups, rock climbing walls, barbecue, fellowship on the patio, one Wednesday night every month throughout the summer. We're getting ready for VBS this summer. It's going to be the best we've ever had for our kids. So you asked me to teach on what I'm going to teach on today. And if you're visiting with us and you're my new friend, how this all came about and how to deal with difficult people is we gave you a survey. And we asked you what you'd like for me to teach on this summer. And number one, above everything else, you asked for it. So y'all are going to be blessed. As you asked that I would teach, this was above everything else. You asked, Pastor, would you teach on how to deal with difficult, now don't look at anybody right now, how to deal with difficult people. And so because I love you and I want to be the best pastor and new friend I can be, I'm going to teach on it. You're going to pray for me this month, right? And I believe that we're going to see, bottom line, you should always have a purpose for meetings. You should always have a purpose for service. And we know the purpose of our service today is to help you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference with your life. Right, church? You should know every purpose of every sermon. For you Catholics, every homily. You should know the purpose of it. And the purpose of this series is that by the end of this month, you and I will see restoration in our relationships. Because there are some people God sent into our life that left our life and shouldn't have left our life. There are some people that are in our life that should leave our life and haven't left yet. Come on, can I have a witness in the house? So I believe by the end of this month, I believe that our relationships are going to be better. Our people skills are going to be better. I believe we're going to see restoration, because you know what? God sends people to you that you need to fulfill your destiny. And then the devil will send things to disrupt that relationship and destroy that relationship so that you will be able to reach your destiny. I believe by the end of this month, what's the purpose of this series, how to deal with difficult people? I believe not only restoration, but reconciliation. Reconciliation. Two words, letter R. Not only is there going to be restoration, but there's going to be reconciliation. You know, you can be restored and be friends and get along, but yet not really be reconciled to a greater relationship than you had before. So we're believing for restoration. Everyone say restoration. Restoration. We're believing for reconciliation. Say reconciliation. And then number three, the purpose of this series, you don't want to miss it all month, is number three is new relationships. New relationships. God-ordained relationships. When God gets ready to bless you, he sends somebody to you. When the devil wants to destroy you, he sends somebody to you. All you need is one Delilah in your life, right? She destroyed Samson. So when God gets ready to bless you, he's going to send you a relationship. When the devil wants to destroy you, he's going to send you the wrong relationship. So we're going to find out about restoration. We're going to see some people come back into our life that should have never left our life, that we needed them and they needed us. And then we're going to see that relationship better than ever before, reconciliation. And then we're going to see new relationships this summer that's going to propel you to the next level of your Christianity. Are you ready? Can you dig that? Amen. So that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to talk about. So how to deal with difficult people. How do we do that? How to deal with difficult people? Well, first of all, difficult people are people who cause conflict. People who cause conflict. Now, what is conflict? I looked it up in Webster, and conflict is described as quarreling, argumentative, fighting, opposition, and strife. It's quarreling, it's fighting, it's opposition, argumentative. You know, some people love conflict. I don't. How about you? Some people just love conflict. They love to stir things up. They love just to argue. They love just to be opposite for the fun of it. They love just to oppose. They love what we call them as troublemakers, difficult people, right? I don't want to be a difficult person. I don't think you want to be a difficult person. I don't want to be a troublemaker. I want to be a peacemaker. Amen? So difficult people are people, and folks, we have all of them. All of us have them in our life. You cannot escape difficult people. You cannot escape them. You cannot avoid them. They will be in your life, in your path, all of your life. What do we have to do? We have to develop the skill. We have to develop the skill on how to deal. Everyone say skills. All month, I'm going to be teaching you and me skills on how to deal with difficult people. We're in a broken world. We're in a cursed world. We're in a hurting world. And you and I know, we've heard it, hurt people hurt people. And there are hurting people around you and I today in our life, on our path, in our journey. So we need to know how to deal with difficult people. People who love to argue, oppose, fight, quarrel. People who love to get in the midst of it and stir up strife. Now, why am I teaching on this? If you're a note taker, four things, okay? You and I do not want to be a person of conflict, nor do we want to be in constant conflict with one another. We don't want to be a difficult person because where there's strife, there's every evil work. Am I right, church? Am I teaching the Bible? So four things why you and I need to learn how to deal with difficult people. If we're in conflict and we can't get along and we're argumentative, number one, it will hinder our fellowship with God. It will hinder our fellowship with God. In other words, we won't hear God when God's trying to speak to us. If we're a difficult person, if we're hard to lead, hard to get along with, jump from marriage to marriage, church to church, job to job, and it's all their fault, then there's something up, and that's why I can't hear from God. So people who are difficult, people who cause conflict, how come you and I don't want to be one? It's because number one, it hinders our what? Fellowship with God. You can't hear God when he speaks. Number two is that it causes spiritual damage. It causes spiritual damage. If I'm going to be difficult to get along with, if I'm going to be difficult to lead, if I'm going to be a person of conflict and I cause it everywhere I go, it's going to cause me spiritual damage. Because number one, I can't hear God. It hinders my fellowship. And out of that, I won't grow spiritually. I won't grow spiritually. So you and I want to learn how to deal with difficult people. Why? Because we want to grow spiritually. So number one, what is it? It hinders our fellowship with God. Number two, it causes spiritual damage. And number three, it blocks our blessings. It blocks our, I hope you're really listening to this because you work with people that are difficult. You live next to people that are difficult. You go to school, people are difficult. And you cannot be a part of what they're doing, engaging in, stirring up strife, opposing opposition and conflict, and expect to grow as a Christian. You can't expect to hear God's voice, nor can you expect to receive God's blessings. It blocks God's blessings. Am I communicating today? Then number four, it causes unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. When you and I are difficult and you and I engage and become a part of the crowd who is difficult. And by the way, one thing that I know that's feeding conflict today is social media. Social media feeds strife, jealousy, envy, comparing, depression, disappointment. It feeds all the above. People get on there and they argue, they blast, they say things they'd never say face to face. They stir up strife, they stir up conflict. Social media feeds conflict. And when I allow conflict to remain in my life, it hinders fellowship with God, can't hear God. Number two, it causes spiritual damage. I can't grow no matter whatever church I go to. Number three, it blocks every blessing God has in store for me. And number four, I forgot, what was it? Unanswered prayer. God won't answer my prayers. So that's what I'm teaching on, because I want you and I to grow. I want us to be blessed. I don't want us to be damaged goods. I want you and I to have answered prayer. I want you and I to hear God's voice. I want you and I to have God's best. Is that okay, everybody? Amen. So with that in mind, then let's look at it. I'm going to give you some skills today and every weekend for the rest of this month, skills on how to deal with difficult people. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 through 5. Can we have it on the overheads? Thank you. Matthew 7, verse 1. You ready for God's word to speak to us? Now I know you're probably not, but you know, from time to time, ask him. I'm difficult to live with. Can I just be honest? 45 years. It's a miracle we've stayed together for 45 years. Because she has to put up with me. You know, there are sometimes it's not those other people who are difficult. Sometimes, Lord, it's me. Right? And you know, I've done enough counseling that when I hear somebody say, Pastor, how can I change him? How can I change her? I know we're in trouble. Because we shouldn't be praying the prayer, oh God, change him, change her. We should be praying the prayer, God, change me. God, change me. Okay? So I'm going to give you, number one, the first skill to learn. And we have to learn this. A skill is something you learn. A skill is something you learn and you keep learning. And family, we'll keep doing this until Jesus comes back or we die. All right? We'll keep working on these skills. Are y'all with me? And the first skill is this. Are you ready? Go to God before you go to them. I like it practical. Go to God before you go to them and give them a piece of your mind. If you're like me, I don't have enough mind to give any pieces from. I need all that I have. Can I have a witness in the house? So wouldn't that save us a lot of heartache? A lot of words that we wish we could retract? A lot of things that we said we wish we hadn't have said? A lot of things that we did we wish we hadn't have done? If we just would have known this skill and be working on it, before I go to them, cuss them out, curse them out, get even, silent treatment, get back, burnt offering. Before I do all those things, I'm going to go to God before I go to them. I'm going to go to God before I go to them. What are we going to do? Well, if we'll do that, that'll save you a lot of heartache. That'll save you a lot in your relationships, and that will help you deal with difficult people. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to go to God before we go to them, and we're going to ask God, where do we need to change? We're going to ask God, God, show me the areas of my personality that's difficult. And by the way, I just want to encourage you today, the personality that you have, God has given to you. And you and I do not want to live life with an insecure personality. You and I do not want to live in insecurity. You and I want to make achievements for God. So what should we do? We should go to God before we go to them, and we should write this down, dedicate our personality to God. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop wishing you had somebody else's personality. Stop listening to the narrative of tearing yourself down. Stop belittling who God made you to be, and dedicate your personality, our personality, our quirks, our imperfection, our insecurities, our hurts, our scars, our mars. Dedicate your personality to God. Amen? Now, there's somebody in the Bible who did that. And I'm going to teach on him this summer, and his name is Gideon. Does anybody remember Gideon? God called Gideon, and Gideon had an inferiority complex. Gideon said, "Who am I? The tribe that I'm from. Why would you call me?" And you know what God did to help cure his insecurity? So he went from an insecure personality to achieving greatness and a great leader for God. Do you know how God did that? Through giving him a vision and giving him his word. And as he meditated on the vision and the promises of God, he went from a personality with quirks, weaknesses, insecurities that he was focusing on, and he began to focus on who God said that he was and what God said that he could do. And then do you know what he said? He said, Gideon said, "I have been visited by Jehovah Shalom." And Shalom means peace. You know you have dedicated your personality to God. You know transformation is taking place. You know that God is working out the best of you when you have peace on the inside of who God created you to be. That was free. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise for who he made you to be. So what are we going to do? We're going to learn the skill before we lose our temper, get hot, get angry, get bitter, get offended, get mad, peace of our mind. What are we going to do? We're going to go to God before we go to them. And we're going to go to God and we're going to say, "God, you know, God, you show me. God, you show me the difficult areas of my life. God, here I am. I'm adjustable and I'm flexible. I'm adjustable and I'm flexible." You know, Kim and I, 45 years. Happy Mother's Day to the mother of my kids. I love her. She's my best friend. I love her with all of my heart. But you know what? We wouldn't have made it for 45 years if we weren't repairing and adjusting daily. You got to be flexible to make it. And we're in it to win it. Amen, church? Okay, so are you all with me? Ready to get in the Word? Well, I would think so, Pastor. You're about done. You haven't got there yet. Well, I'm just laying down the foundation. I heard that. Okay, so here we go now. Ooh, now, this is to me too. This isn't just to you. Do not judge. Oh, how to get along with difficult people. Don't judge. Don't criticize. Don't condemn other people. Oh, my goodness. So, you know what? I need to learn the skill of not judging other people. I need to learn the skill of stop gossiping and criticizing other people. I need to learn the skill of stop condemning and running down other people. Why? Because to the degree that I do it to others, others are doing it behind my back at a greater level. To the degree that I give it out, it's coming back to me, pressed down, and running over. Oh my goodness, that'll help me keep my trap shut. That's a skill. You don't know my boss. No, I don't. You don't know who I live with. You don't know who I live next door to. You don't know who I go to school. You don't know my teacher. You don't know my professor. You don't know my peer. You don't know what they've done. No, I don't, but God does. And how to deal with them is go to God before you go to them. And God's going to say, "Have you been running them down? Have you been criticizing them? Have you been condemning?" This is going over like, it'll get better, I promise you. I promise you it'll get better. But, you know, we got to look at this, because if I'm criticizing, we don't come to church to criticize folks. None of us are perfect. You know, pray for us. Don't criticize us. You never bring out the best. We've raised our kids, okay? You never bring out the best in anybody. You know, I have a wonderful team. We have our dream teamers here. You know, I don't go around criticizing them. You've never heard me from the pulpit criticizing our team or our dream teamers. Why? Because you never bring out the best of people by criticizing them. And you'll never bring out the best of our church. And I love our church. I love you. I think it's the greatest church in the world. But we haven't arrived. We make mistakes. But you know what? If you criticize us, then what's going to happen? People will criticize you behind your back at a greater degree. Show me in the Bible. It's right here. It's right here. So what do? We need to learn the skill. We stop criticizing, condemning, and judging. Because you know why they're difficult? Because they're hurting. Number two, they have unmet needs. Unmet needs. And they're mad because you and others aren't meeting those needs. Oh my goodness. Why are they difficult? Because they're hurting. Why are they difficult? Number two, because they have unmet needs. And what they're doing is they've looked at people to meet their needs. People have disappointed them, so they're angry and they're bitter at the government, at the church, at their family, at their friends that have let them down, so they're difficult to get along with. Does that make sense? So we don't want to judge them. We need what this passage of scripture is going to give us. I'm going to show you in just a minute. This is so cool. Don't judge, don't criticize, don't condemn. So that you would not be judged, so that you would not be criticized, so that you would not be condemned. I think it's called sowing. I think it's what goes around. Yeah. Okay, verse 2. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn other people, you will be judged. You will be gossiped about. You will be criticized. You will be condemned. In accordance to the measure that you deal it out, it'll be dealt back to you. Oh my goodness. Next verse, verse 3. So why do you stare? Now watch this. This is so amazing. Why do you stare from without at the very small toothpick that's in your brother or sister's eye? That twerk, that quirk, and their personality? Why do you magnify that, he says, when it's a toothpick compared to the telephone pole in my life? Notice I didn't say your life. In my life. Oh my goodness. So what is he saying? Wrong perspective. Wrong perspective. Wrong perception. So I have to work on the skill of seeing things correctly. I have to work on the skill of seeing the big picture in that difficult person. So he says there again, you stare from you focus on the little things we do wrong, not here, but in some churches, they focus on the little things we do wrong instead of the 1,935 people that made decisions for Christ. I'm coming over here. Praise the Lord. You focus on, why are we so negative? Because we're born negative, right? And what's the first word that we learn as a kid? No. No, no, you know what? A negative. We're in a negative world. We're around negative people. But you and I are not to be negative in a negative world. We're to bring hope in a negative world. So he said, why are you staring at the imperfections? Why are you staring at the little mistakes in your brother's eye, but you do not are not aware of the beam, the telephone pole in your own eye? So before we go to them, we're going to. That if you get that, it'll absolutely change and improve your relationships. It'll take stress out of your life. You owe me Starbucks, okay? It takes stress out of your life if you'll just do that. Just go to God before you go to them. Don't live there where they live. Don't give them real estate in your head. Go to God before you go to them. Next verse, verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother or sister, let me get the toothpick out of your eye when there's a beam, a timber, a telephone pole in your own eye? So what is he saying? You need to come to me and get things adjusted and straightened out instead of putting down other people. And don't even put down yourself. Just surrender yourself. Just yield yourself. Stop listening to the narrative that you have personality problems, you lack people skills, you'll never get it, it'll never get better, you can't make friends. Don't listen to that narrative. Dedicate your personality to God. Oh, I like that phrase right there. Next verse, verse 5. You hypocrite, first do what? First do what? First go to God before you go to them. First, get the telephone pole out of your eye. But here's what I want you to see, family. Here's the revelation. If we go to God before we go to them, and if we say, God, here I am, I yield my personality, what irritates me, what aggravates me, what ticks me off, what causes me to be a volcano, God, whatever it is, I dedicate my personality to you, God, and then I yield myself. God, show me where I'm difficult in my personality, and then empower me and help me to change, right? Once you do that, look what happens. Then you see clearly. Then you see clearly. Then the scales are taken off, and then now you know why your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your boss, your supervisor, your neighbor, your professor is difficult to get along with. God gives you revelation in the relationship, and He'll begin to show you the things that change that will bring restoration, reconciliation, and new relationships. Because if I can't take care of the ones I have, why would God send me new ones? If I'm not nurturing, if I'm not grateful, if I'm not thankful. This morning, I text Marilyn Hickey at 7:45. I said, Marilyn, I just want you to know you're my favorite Bible teacher. Marilyn, I'm sitting here reading one of your books right now. I just want you to know I love you. And she's been coming to this church since 1986. But I got to still nurture that relationship. If I'm not taking care of the relationships I have now, why would God give me a new one that will promote me? As the team comes out. So the skill that we're learning today is we're going to go to God before we go to them. And we're not going to put ourselves down. We're going to put ourselves before Almighty God. And we're going to say, God, the things in my personality that are non-attractive, God, I give them to you. I dedicate my personality to you. So now, Holy Spirit, begin to work on me. When you do that, you'll begin to see clearly why that toothpick, that flaw, that hurt, can't get along with, can't get around it, can't deal with it. You'll begin to see clearly God will give you revelation of the problem in your relationship. But until I deal with me, I'll never see what the problem is in my marriage. Until I deal with me, you know, that's why, you know, people will see me in the lobby, they'll see me in the hallway, they'll see me in the elevator, and they'll say, Pastor, you know, I need counseling, I'm having a problem with my marriage, what should I do? I always tell them this, work on you. How many know that's not the answer most people want? Well, I'm having trouble at work, what should I do? Work on you. Because you know what? If you do that, then God will give you revelation of what to do in the situation. Amen. And you know what God will do? He'll change them, or He'll change you, or He'll remove them out of your life, or He'll remove you out of their life. Right? You see, all I got to do, though, the skill I've got to learn until my dying day or Christ comes back on how to deal with difficult people is go to God before I go to them.